Good morning, Rancho Marietta Community Service District Personnel Committee, September 18th, 0730. We can call it to order, and the first discussion item is security program change and creation of community service officer, or CSO is a common term. Classification, Mark, please.
Okay, thank you. What this item is about is creating a position in security called community service officer. And what this will do is it will provide additional flexibility and also widen the pool of candidates in the security department for patrol. And so this would be an unarmed patrol position. These people would be trained to go out and do patrols, much like our current patrol officers do. They would get some training in de-escalating contentious situations, dealing with the public, and taking reports. But what this would allow us to do is, like I said, widen that pool of candidates. They would be unarmed. So the thought would be that this would be a job classification that would come in at a lower salary range than Patrol 2, because a lot of those folks are retired law enforcement and they have a lot of certifications that go with carrying a firearm on duty. And it would allow us to get back up to that full coverage and that full presence of patrol out in the community. And then that lends itself to another mission that we're looking at for security here, which currently it's observe and report, but we're also looking to add deter to that. And we feel that having a presence in the community, as much of a presence as possible out there, will also help with deterrence. And so that's the advantages of community service officer.
So a lot of the terminology I see in here is pretty standard, quite honestly. Local government, City of Elk Grove, City of Rancho Cordova, City of Sacramento, I'm not sure on Citrus Heights, they all use community service officers. And then obviously you have the sworn service behind them. So I'm assuming that's where we got a lot of these tasks.
Correct. Yeah, we went ahead and we went out and looked at a lot of different community service officer position descriptions from communities around here, and that all helped inform this job description.
Is the pay also in the ballpark or commensurate with those other agencies?
We did not do a survey necessarily with the other agencies, but we did slot it into what our current salary range
right,
is.
Right, I see that. Okay. And quite honestly, I don't think a pay comparison would be done straight across, because their tasks are different than what our tasks will be.
Right, so. And this is more to fit in with our operation here in
Correct.
This community, and then also what's going to help us get that full back to that full coverage goal.
I don't remember if I had a conversation with you or the GM. A thought process, and for your edification, Director Janko, originally when staff talked about this, a thought process I had was what is common in local government is to go in on hiring pools. And there's a part of me that would like to be able to go to our allied governmental agencies and ask if we could hire off of their lists, if that makes sense. I don't know how we would get into that. It is common, not necessarily at this level, but for police officer and firefighter and those types of things. Ideally, that would be a good way to go. But I don't. I think we're just going to have to do the recruitment on our own. Questions from you, Randy?
I'm tracking with you on the recruitment. The experience is very minimal, so a person could almost come in straight out of high school that wants to get into this line of work. The pay scale from 24 to 29 something, where does it, did we set these based on a percentage below what a gun carrying security guy would?
Right, so we did. So it's, let's see here, it's step by step, it's 5% above our gate officer two. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it kind of creates that job ladder because this would be a position that would be open to, you know, gate officers. So let's say somebody is, you know, maybe they've worked in the gates for a long time and they could just use a shift or two with some different scenery, right? So those folks could become CSOs, and then it just provides a lot of flexibility with the scheduling and then coverage of the gates, and then also making sure we have full patrol coverage. It is 12% less than our patrol officer 2 scale, okay, which comes with a lot of additional certifications and the firearms and all the equipment and all of that stuff. So this is kind of that thought process on, you know, pulling all the right levers and getting that right mix of circumstances so that we can get back to that full coverage and have a lot of flexibility to make sure that the gates are covered all the time and we've got folks out on patrol, we've got that presence out in the community.
Well, I would, just looking at the pay scale, I would think that we would attract some people that qualified people that would do this, plus the fringe benefit package, be a good starter spot. I like it.
So part of the thought process, and you kind of stated it there, is from a resume builder, if I'm looking to get into law enforcement, this is a way of doing it. One of the reasons in the local governments I just rattled off, that's where they go first to fill full-time positions at a peace officer status. So I do anticipate this could be a revolving door, but the difference being the KSAs that are needed are pretty standard, and the liability that we inherit right now with no supervision and we have armed folks, obviously that would change our liability footing immensely. And again, I lack of what the community has told us from Measure R and the grand jury, we're making do with what we have. The other then is at some point down the road, does this become a continuing CSD security issue, or is it an RMA issue, or is there a spinoff, and it just kind of sets us up for the inevitable somewhere down the road. So that's all I have on the job classification. Anything else from you, Randy, on that?
No, what are we being asked to do, to recommend approval to the board?
What I wanted to do is have discussion at this level, and if we don't have anything as staff, then staff can start tightening up a staff report to bring back to the board. I would like to think we could get it by October. It just depends on the workload of staff, and I can work back through them, but I just need to get eyes on it at the personnel level. Or personnel committee level.
that's on the agenda for tonight, yeah.
Is it?
It's on the agenda for tonight, yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
And this piece is also in the packet.
I saw that, okay. And it's an action item for tonight?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. So then I guess it would just be a recommendation out of committee to the board to move forward with it.
Well, it's on the agenda as a discussion item, but I don't think there's anything that
it's on
we,
this.
We can't just say that we looked at it.
Right.
We like it.
Recommend moving it to the board?
Yes. Discussion item, discuss replacing record retention policy P 2015-08 with updated policy. Where is that? I saw it.
It's the,
yeah, it's from legal counsel.
From Patrick.
Nothing jumped out to me. So I don't know, I'll open it to staff, but there's nothing.
This memo is very, very in-depth and meticulous.
Yeah, and it's all local government, state government codes, so.
Thank you. So can I just weigh in on that a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, ma'am.
So the district has had this policy since 2015, and that has led to the accumulation of a lot of paper. And the rental of a trailer, which was, you know, somewhere near $3,000 a year. So we had the trailer removed last year, had all the boxes put into permanent structures, but we still have to get those boxes of, you know, decades old. In some cases, we have data from 20 years ago, get it shredded and out of here. And then we were stuck with the policy, the old policy that was sort of from another era, kind of a pre-digital era. So the idea of this resolution and updated policy is that we would become more current with modern practices for data retention and not retain things for longer than we need to. We have about a dozen items that are required to be permanently retained, and those have to deal with like the formation of the district, a lot of the legal obligations and financial obligations, but even those can be maintained in digital format.
Correct.
So this really is sort of a movement into the modern era of digitized information.
Well, lots changed in almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So, okay. No-brainer on that one, unless you got anything, Randy?
No, I'm getting ready to move my company into a new office, and I'm going through my stuff, figuring out what needs to be thrown away. I got stuff that's 40 years old, and I'm looking at it going, I must be a hoarder.
I'm
of the opinion.
Do you not go into your garage?
Yes. No, it's not. I can bring my wife into this. I think as soon as you don't need something, you get rid of it, because the less clutter you have, the more efficient you can be, I come to believe.
Okay. Item four.
So we recommend moving this to the board first.
Yes. Operations team, individual employee feedback discussion. This is a discussion of it. I don't know who I kicked that to.
I'll start it off on that one. This was actually a pretty impressive overall organizational review for the operations unit in particular, but there were, I'd say, close to a dozen one-on-one meetings between Director of Finance and Admin, Mark Matalich, and our payroll HR associate, Donna McLeod. And they sat down for at least an hour with almost every operations person. I think there was one or two that were out for a couple days and they missed their appointments. But what they received from these individuals is a lot of feedback about the current state of the operations unit. And they came back with some specific, you know, requests for improvements in procedures and processes, and then also improvements in just general operational tools and equipment and conditions. The lighting in the back areas of the wastewater treatment plant and the warehouse are dim. They make it very hard to see. They're very, and you can even see in this room, we've got a flickering fluorescent. And there has been, kind of along the lines of the document, retention policy, advancement in technology in lighting, which is both cheaper from an electrical cost perspective and brighter for an overall effectiveness perspective. So those kinds of issues were addressed. Some of the equipment is broken or old, non-functional. Some of the trucks are similarly in disrepair. And I think the warehouse, at least, was used as a dumping ground for broken items that were in this building that were just relocated to the warehouse, which doesn't send a strong message of respect for those workers back there and doesn't address the situation. It's kind of like the paper accumulation. And then additionally, there were concerns about the quality of the water back there because they don't have clean facilities and filtered water, and their water, you know, so there were some concerns about that. So Mark and Donna have compiled a list, which I've read through, and we actually have taken immediate steps to give them new sort of drinking fountains, but they're like the drinking fountains that are found at airports these days that actually allow people to fill their own water bottles after they come through. So it's fully filtered, cold, whatever. So those have been purchased and are being installed soon. And I think in general, the intent here is to change the culture, to have the individual employees feel that their work is valued enough that their working conditions are adequate and more. And so that's, I think, going to be the next step in improving overall engagement among the employees. And I'll let Mark add anything you want to add, because you actually spoke specifically to the folks.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was a really good summarization of everything. I would just add, you know, we just have some really great folks working here and working out in ops, and they provided a lot of really good feedback, a lot of just tactical, operational, immediate things that we can do that, as Mimi said, I think will make a big difference. So we're working hard to get those things implemented.
Understood. Director Janko, any questions of staff?
I do not have any questions.
Thank you for doing this, first of all. Second, I would ask that you summarize this so that I know coming up in the next month or two, we're going to have the GM report on the state of the district. I think this would be a good item to put in there. One cannot be surprised from the standpoint that the failures we're having on the outside, obviously we're going to have on the inside, infrastructure, everything else. The focus has been everything on the outside, not to the internal customer. And even though you hear board members say we appreciate it and thank staff daily, if you're going to a dimly lit dumping ground, what does that really mean, right? And so I think actions speak louder than words. Priorities have been to, as Travis chatted with me this morning, it's a Band-Aid approach, and I think it shows now where the district's at. So trying to address a cultural issue is a big issue, and it's long term, and I think it's more than needed. So the only ask I have is that it get put into the GM report when we report out on the state of the district.
Will do.
Thank you. Item 5, discuss making changes to salary ranges for unrepresented classifications. Discussion item.
So you have handouts that have just been provided to you. These are very draft. It's right there.
Is it different?
It is slightly different. I forget where it is, if it's in the personnel manual or something, but there's a reference somewhere to a every 3-year evaluation,
right,
of salaries compared to regional information.
It's in the pay for performance manual.
Pay for performance manual, which is also in need of an overhaul, but it's kind of, you know, in the
priorities.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So, but nevertheless, this is a rough attempt at this. I think what we probably need to do is take a look at this and then either have an outside entity gather data. The thing that makes this complicated is that this is a very small operation, so many of our folks are wearing multiple hats. We don't have the same scale of many of the larger districts. But I think that actually makes it more challenging for some of our people because there's fewer people to rely on. And probably Travis can attest to that. The shallowness of our bench means that everybody has to be, you know, fully committed and working 100% to be able to keep things going. So this is, a rough start at this effort. We also have the unique situation of two of our exempt employees receiving overtime. And, you know, in my analysis of these other districts, I didn't see anything about that. It's kind of a rare situation. And it might be worth considering establishing a higher level that's fixed for those exempt employees, which is more traditional with exempt employees.
Right.
But you get a little sprinkling here of this, and then maybe you might consider a deeper dive into this. Which would be closer to apples to apples comparison of the different districts that are near us. I think historically the consensus is that our represented folks do pretty well in terms of being competitive with the other districts. But the unrepresented, hasn't been evaluated for, I think it was 2020. Spring of 2020 was the last time that the evaluation was done. It might be 21, but either way, it's outside of that 3-year window. So this is just for your consideration.
So one of the things I would ask, well, I'll open it up, Director Jenko.
So the last time we looked at this was 4 years ago, and obviously these numbers were different. Do we have a method of increasing salaries based on some index, or do we just do this by the seat of our pants?
So I think that the way that it's done is more of the seat of the pants kind of approach, but there is the recommendation, or there is the language that states that a salary survey will be done, and then there are MSI ladders, you know, this increases within a range that could be impacted by a change to the range. The other option here that we're dealing with is compaction, which is when people who are overseeing other employees who are represented, where their salaries get too close in range. And then I think there's one other issue here, which is the pay for performance manual currently allows for bonuses for unrepresented employees, but only if there is a little bit of ceiling room between the maximum that they're at and whatever the maximum is for that classification. And currently, I believe all of our unrepresenteds are pretty much at that ceiling, so there's no room for any bonuses given the language in the pay for performance. So that could be changed just independently, but that's kind of the situation that we're facing.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting, and I'm sure we have these numbers because we do these surveys all the time, to see how we compare in our increases, not just dollars, but our general manager, for example, is X percent over the last 5 years of increases versus the other districts. Are they increasing their salaries more than we are or less than we are? It's good to know where we're at, apples to apples, but we're obviously behind them on a few of these, and which makes sense, we're smaller. But are we keeping up with inflation as much as the other districts are, or are we ahead? It'd just be interesting to see that.
Yeah, and there were a couple of these districts that actually did CPI-based increases in the last 2 years, at least. There was one of them that had a specific increase for inflation. That was Carmichael, I believe. Anyway, but yeah, I think that's a good idea to look at it in a more granular format and to see, you know, what kind of inflationary impacts are being captured.
So I have a procedural question for you. I get what you just said with the salary ranges. If we have employees that have maxed out, then they're not eligible for a program. So because we have a salary range, that doesn't directly affect the employee's salary. Does that make sense? So let's pick utility supervisor. If we add one or two more steps to that salary range, doesn't mean the employee's getting it because they haven't got the merit increase or what have you. But what it does is it does allow for the bonus should an employee be eligible. Does that make sense?
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
So unless I hear something from Director Janko, one of my asks would be that we look at, very similar to what Randy was just talking about, looking at what should be a couple more salary step increases. And then the board, when we bring it to them, can give you direction to implement it. And then that now makes people that are otherwise, because of lack of performance on the board, given the GM resources to do this, have eliminated employees from getting a board policy in effect. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
I think so, yes.
Okay. I'm not one to ask staff to do something unless we're going to do something about it. But what jumps out at me is we have employees that are no longer eligible for district policy because of lack of what the board's done. So I would ask, as you work this through, when you get it, we schedule another personnel committee meeting so that we can get our eyes on it and then move it to the board. My goal would be to get it done this calendar year so that we can get at least in tune with what district policy is, if that makes sense.
Will do, yeah.
Any other questions on it, Randy?
Nope.
Okay.
So this is an item, just so that you know, an action item on tonight's board agenda, so you might want to, I don't know, pull it or talk about it and just change it to a discussion item, whatever you want to do.
I think it's a discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll probably amend it when it comes up.
Thank you.
Because we just have to do a little bit more on it. Okay. Comments from the public. Not seeing or hearing. Comments from staff or directors.
I have none.
Nothing else for me, thanks.
In that case, Amelia, we are done at 1 minute after 8.